Oliver Callan on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Get Set Go. Get comprehensive car insurance today at getsetgo.ie.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air until one. And the amount of rain that fell in this island yesterday evening and into the night. Mother of God, where does it all go at all? Today on the show, we've got actors, pagans, TV shows, and the war of the musical societies carries on. Tap out all your thoughts on the WhatsApp, north, south, east, west, wherever you are. 087 032 32 32. And for your longer letters on this Thursday morning, the email is oliver@rte.ie. Ah, yes. Now, by 10 o'clock tonight, the boys in green, they might be out of World Cup contention qualification. Ronaldo is in the country. He says he's ready for the boos from the supporters in Dublin when he leads Portugal out for the qualifier tonight. And it's a full house. How many of those Irish fans are there just to see the 40-plus Ronaldo, the billionaire footballer? Because he captains this Portugal side. They need a win to qualify for the World Cup. They're going to get there, but they'll be through tonight before the whole qualification thing is over. And Ireland know what we have to do once the Armenia-Hungary tie is out of the way. We need Hungary to win, by the way, to stand a chance or to make that last match against Hungary on Sunday matter at all. Ronaldo, he's got a mixed record coming into Dublin. His defeat on his first visit here in a friendly, that was 2005, and now he says he's ready for what the Irish crowd's going to throw at him, especially after we met in Lisbon and his gamesmanship was referenced by the Irish squad. And after that game, the dentist in charge of the team said the referee gave Portugal far too much respect. So there's the chance that the Irish supporters might focus their anger on the number seven. Hopefully, please God, he doesn't score, this man. But he absolutely charmed the socks off the journalists at his press conference yesterday.
I really like the fans here, the support they give to their national team. It's lovely. For me, it's a pleasure to come in, to play here again. And of course, it will be tough. I hope they don't boo too much to me tomorrow. I swear that I'm gonna try to be a good boy. But of course, I do it my job. I try to win the game and try to score to help my team. But as I said before, I'm sure that the game will be difficult.
What hope do we have at all, at all, at all? We seem to do well against three impossible sides, though, don't we? Quarter day tonight, live from Lansdowne Road on RT2, and you can also follow the action here on Radio 1. There'll be live commentary as well. We're talking about the census again. I thought we just did one of those. No, it was 2022, and now they've announced the next census is going to be on the 9th of May, 2027. This has been agreed by Cabinet when they met yesterday. And this time, for the first time, people will have the option to complete the census online. So none of the poor census form people going door to door, and you have to fill this in. It's a legal requirement. The paper forms will still be going, but I presume that online thing will definitely increase the take up. It'll be available to complete in the weeks leading up, so it won't be just a single night thing. It's a big change, isn't it? And it's going to count where people are normally resident instead of where exactly you are on census night. You know, that thing where people have to fill it in when they're in a hotel or whatnot, or visiting the house for the evening and so on. And the Central Statistics Office people said this will ensure more precise data on population distribution. 5.1 million of us living in the Republic in 2022. That was up 7.6% in 2016. It's going to be bigger again in 2027. Now, what other curiosities are going around the world to distract us? Ah, Maura Higgins. She's always good for one of these things. What's she up to now? She's going to do a show in America. The Traitors US. Maura Higgins is confirmed as a contestant. It's, of course, we know, based on the Dutch thing. Alan Carr won the BBC Celebrity Traitors recently. It was the most watched TV programme of the year so far among the Brits. 250,000 people here were tuning in each night from Ireland, which is amazing for a programme on the BBC. So the next American series is coming out in January, hosted by Alan Cumming again. But the Longford woman, Maura Higgins, who she's been around since 2019, would you believe, from Love Island. And she was on I'm a Celebrity last year. Now she's on The Traitors. 22 contestants, each aiming to win the American prize of $250,000. Unbelievable. €215,000, that is the prize for the Traitors US. Who else is on it? Five stars of The Real Housewives, two Olympians, and Donna Kelsey, the mother of Travis Kelce, who is currently engaged to Taylor Swift. The last US season was won by Lord Ivor Mountbatten. God help that poor fella. Poor creator. Spiders now, if you're a bit arachnophobic, look away now. Two species of spiders have been observed for the first time doing absolutely mental things, weaving larger decoy models of themselves to protect themselves from other predators. So this is the first time we've seen any creature creating scarecrow versions of themselves to scare off the predators. Isn't this unbelievable? They're the cleverest things. These orb-weaving spiders, all the creepy words, belong to the genus Cyclosa. They're found, does it have one eye? They're found in the dense rainforests of the Philippines and Peru. Oh, thank God, that's off your holiday list. And observed for the first time making decorations resembling much larger, more dangerous spiders made out of silk, natural materials, and using the carcasses of things they're eating, leaves and so on. Spiders, they're amazing. They discovered that spiders are kind of lifting their legs on ships and they're wondering, are they trying to send a little web? Well, they're actually detecting the electromagnetic fields because they could take off from ships and fly using the magnets of the earth across wide open seas. Unbelievable. Hey, and we're going on about AI. The supernatural stuff is in nature. Oh, that's cool. Moving on to the United States, where all is well and perfectly normal and things are going along very, very well indeed. There's another Kennedy on the way into politics. Haven't they suffered enough, says you. Jack Schlossberg is his name. He's launched a bid for the US Congress with the slogan Jack for New York. He uses his full name on occasion, Jack Bouvier Kennedy Schlossberg. Jackie Kennedy being his and JFK being the grandparents. Best known for all the kind of sort of weird things he's been doing online. He's been slagging off his own cousin, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's the health secretary of America. He's been calling him a loser. But he also does kind of sketches and makes fun of Melania Trump and so on. And in a bizarre post, he declared his love for the second lady, Usha Vance, married to JD, asking his followers, is she hotter than his late grandmother, Jackie Kennedy? Bizarre. Vogue magazine also appointed him as their political political correspondent last July, saying because he was such a huge hit online. He's 2 million followers across Instagram and TikTok, and the Kennedy heir. He wrote only 5 articles though when he got that job. He's running for a seat which is going to be vacated by a retiring Democrat congressman, but it's not a given. There's a couple of other Democrats looking to get into this as well. So first of all, this was his content online when he's making fun of Melania Trump after it was announced that she'd sent a letter to Vladimir Putin.
Dear President Putin, every child shares the same quiet dreams in their heart. As parents, our duty is to nurture next generation hope.
He was in a blonde wig and everything. It was all very, very strange. And here he is announcing he's now running for the Congress and rather more serious now.
We deserve better and we can do better. And it starts with the Democratic Party winning back control of the House of Representatives. With control of Congress, there's nothing we can't do. Without it, we're helpless to a third term. My name is Jack Schlossberg and I'm running for Congress to represent my home, New York's 12th Congressional District.
He said words there. I didn't hear any words. I just heard Kennedy, 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 Kennedy. That's all you've got. And your entire internet bizarre behaviour is there for all the world to keep forever. Far more importantly whatever's left of American democracy is how much democracy and truth and purity is left in the quizzes, pub quizzes, table quizzes all around this country and other countries. Mark Rackham is the name of a man who owns a pub in Greater Manchester, Urmston. That's not the name of the pub. Barking Dog. Ah, yeah, that sounds like an English pub. He says he solved the crime of a century because they caught a quiz team cheating. Caught them red-handed. How were they cheating? Were they using their phones? No, that's long been. If you're spotted with your phone, you're gone, you're out. You can't be going to the bathroom too many times either. They're using the smartwatches to get their answers. They were whispering into smartwatches to cheat on the quiz. The pub owner, he shared this news on social media. He chose not to name the cheating team. He's got dignity. He's got dignity, this quiz master. But he says it's unfortunately led to massive speculation. So everybody who goes to his quiz in the Barking Dog is possibly been suspected if they suddenly stop going, if they're just not available, whatever. It's a weekly pub quiz he runs, but smartwatches they're adding to the terror of phones being used. We have got to keep pub quizzes absolutely pure, don't we? Now, what is worse than the sound of a single set of bagpipes blasting? Could it be the sound of 374 bagpipes blasting at the same time. Well, it depends what they're playing. This is a new book of records, the Australian Book of Records. This is obviously a rival to the Guinness one. Confirmed that a sea of tartan-wearing pipers in Melbourne's Federation Square have shattered a record set in Bulgaria. 333 pipers in 2012 were a-piping. And they decide, of course, it's Australia. They had to play. What else? AC/DC's It's a Long Way to the Top. Can this be listened to without us all going mad? Wow. There's three more minutes of this. it's gone. Oh my God. It went horribly wrong there at the end. It was very pleasant. I was bopping along to that, actually. There was good bass being provided. That wouldn't be in the bagpipe now, would it? That's someone hammering something. Oh, yes, yeah. Were they slightly smartwatch cheating with bagpipes? I wonder. That's all your bagpiping and stuff that's gone on. Oh, yes, this is important news for fans of The Devil Wears Prada. I only watched this film for the first time in the last year because of Olivia Fahey, who's coming in later on. The teaser trailer for the sequel, The Devil Wears Prada 2, which is what we should call it in Ireland, The Devil Wears Prada Ado, has been released ahead of the... it's going to happen next May, basically. 20th Century Studios said 20 years after making their iconic turns as Miranda, Andy, Emily and Nigel, Meryl Streep, Anne Hathaway, Emily Blunt and Stanley Tucci return to the fashionable streets of New York City and do sleeky things in sleeky words and kind of diss each other in very sexy ways. And nobody cares what it's about. There's no description of what it's about. But it opens on the 1st of May 2026. So there's a lot of excitement. They've used Madonna's song, actually, for the opening of that as well. And it's coming out the same week as the Met Gala. They've got it all connected, don't they? The whole thing. So that's being rehoused, as they say, which is a lovely link to the government, as you heard on David McCullough, encouraging us to have hope around the new housing plan. And we really, really, really need it to work this time. How many of them have there been? OK, I'll give you the hit list. Social Housing Strategy was a brilliant, snappy name. Alan Kelly, 2014. Then you had Rebuilding Ireland. That was a good name, I thought. Simon Coveney, 2016. Then he ran away from there. Dara O'Brien, Housing for All. But for Dara O'Brien, it was like, Housing for All! That was 2021. You know the story. Targets weren't met. Things delayed, over budget, criticised by the opposition. Government said it was the crash in COVID and Thierry Henry's handball. Did that happen in the same period? Something like that. So the 2011, we had 7,000 houses built that year. But after only 2 years, it was only 4,500 per year. But they've got it up to 30,000 homes. The developers, that is, they've been finishing them the last 2 years, each of the last 2 years, still well short of what's needed. The new plan out today is promising 60,000 a year. And James Brown, the minister, this is the fourth plan. It's called, wait for it, Delivering Homes, comma, Building Communities. Somebody worked on that title now a long time. It's they've given up building the houses. They're just building communities now. They're going to be delivering the houses by a fella on the back of a bicycle. And unfortunately for them, now this plan was actually due many months ago. So the actual plan, it was delayed. And anyway, I also noticed a bit of PR jargon creeping into the language being used by the department and also being picked up by journalists unquestioning everywhere without explanation. Starter homes. What the hell is a starter home? It's not quite defined, but I've dug in and I think it's a term the government uses for first-time buyer home where they get state support, but the house could be a renovation, not necessarily newly built. So it kind of allows them to add a renovation to the list of homes delivered. Clever, you see, PR people running rings around the journalists. And we have to live in hope, though, don't we? We're told repeatedly solving this whole thing is complex, it's complicated. President Catherine Connolly, I thought it was one of her most standout moments in the campaign, and she gave an incredible summary of what the housing crisis is and I felt it should have got more attention, so I thought I'd bring it to you. It was 6 weeks ago in the Virgin Media debate hosted by Kieran Cuddihy. Here was, at the time, candidate Catherine Connolly telling us and describing and summing up the housing problem.
Well, I spent 17 years of my life at a city council level, and we built houses. And we stopped building in 2009. Not a single public house was built by Galway City Council, and very few by the County Council from 2009 onwards. The problem has arisen because we utterly based our solutions on the market, on a neoliberal ideology. And when that failed, we brought in various schemes to back up the market. We utterly failed to build public housing on public land, which is part of the solution. Now we have a myriad of schemes, which is like a jigsaw of pieces without an overall picture. It has become complex because of the various schemes, but it's actually quite simple in a sense that we need, first of all, to realise that it's a fundamental human right to have a home. Secondly, we need to look at what the Housing Commission said. The government set up a Housing Commission, and amongst many recommendations, one of their conclusions before the recommendations was that we need a radical reset of housing policy. And then the one went on to give the recommendations, which have been utterly ignored by the government.
There you go. Now, our nuachtarán, Catherine Connolly. I just thought that was the most succinct definition of the housing crisis I've ever heard. And she hasn't said directly what her theme of her presidency is going to be, but I kind of hope her kind of clear, bigger picture hot takes like these would be part of that. And there are definitely lessons for the opposition there too, because a year ago they had the opportunity to set out very clear ideas. Part of that was describing the problem so that voters could see that it could be fixed. But obviously voters weren't impressed enough to put opposition parties into power. And of course today the opposition is criticising delivering homes, building communities, the new plan. The government is saying it's a reset and there's extra funding to work. Some of those Housing Commission recommendations actually were being implemented or are underway. But the central one, public houses on public land, as Catherine Connolly was saying there, has not been done. 300,000 new homes will be built by 2030, they say. Light a candle, says you. Ah, where are we go to now? Madonna, if she's all over the Divil Wears Prada ado, this would be the place to distract you from all that housing malarkey and whatnot.